With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, headlines on Softy and Dick, 5 o'clock right here on a busy Friday, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Softy is an idiot.
College football, Tyler Shuck, who started all seven games, a quarterback for the Oregon Ducks this year, including the bowl game against Iowa State, announcing he will transfer. He's a grad student, meaning he can play right away. NFL, Texans, defensive end J.J. Watt, brother of T.J., after 10 years, three defensive player awards, 101 sacks, 172 TFLs. After requesting his release from Houston, the Texans have now granted him that release. He is now a free agent and can sign with anybody. NFL, Saints are releasing guard Nick Easton, and Mariner Baseball announcing their spring training schedule. 28 games starting February 28th on Sunday at 12:10 against the Padres. It's time for What's Brewing, brought to you by Pelican Brewing.
Yeah, I bet you can use a cool one, huh?
Now you're talking.
This is What's Brewing, powered by Pelican Brewing, the folks that bring you Beat Breaker Double IPA.
Manny, look at this Pelican flag. Come on, Pelican.
On Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
All right, special news segment where we quickly tell you what's happening this weekend because you're too lazy to look for yourself. Two top 25 college basketball matchups tomorrow. Number 12, Oklahoma at number 14, West Virginia, 10 o'clock in the morning over on Espen Plus. 2 o'clock tomorrow if it's snowing and you're stuck inside. Number 5, Villanova at number 19, Creighton over on Fox. And Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, I'm telling you about this game. Number 3, Michigan at number 25, Wisconsin on CBS. Because Kevin Harlan's doing the game on Sunday morning for CBS. Michigan 13-1 at Wisconsin. NBA tomorrow, 5:30, if you're stuck inside in the snowstorm, Snowmageddon 21. 5:30 tomorrow, Brooklyn at Golden State over on ABC. Marks the return of Kevin Durant to the Nets lineup and his first game back at Golden State since taking off a year and a half ago. Golf this weekend, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am in California, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday on the Golf Channel. CBS will pick it up at noon, by the way. And NASCAR, I know Cam's a big NASCAR guy, Daytona 500, Sunday on Fox.
Love NASCAR.
At 11:30.
Love it.
It'd be a great place to go visit, wouldn't it? Oh, party.
Maybe not in a pandemic, but later.
Well, they care in Florida?
That's a great question.
I think they give a damn in Florida.
I'm going to go with no.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Cliff Averill, former Seahawk defensive end, was on with Ian Furness today talking about his thoughts on the whole situation surrounding Russell Wilson.
Roll. If you were in the locker room still, if you were still a teammate, and you take all this in and absorb it. I mean, he's got guys that you're tight with still. I mean, the other guys that aren't really affected by it, what do you think they're doing? If Cliff Averill was still there, what would you tell Russell?
I would definitely have a call, you know, and just kind of see where he's at mentally with it, right? Like, what's going on? Like, why are we talking about this? Why aren't we keeping this in-house? Because it might be deeper than what we think. It might be deeper than what we know, you know? So that would be my first thing, because I understand that quarterbacks, out of the 53 guys on the team, quarterbacks have a completely different relationship with management, ownership, and coaches with the rest of the guys. Like, I've maybe had one conversation with Paul Allen in 5 years, right? Russ has probably had dinner with him every single home game or something, you know what I mean? So we just don't know how the conversation really is had, or are they having the conversation? How in depth are the conversations? So, like, I would just reach out to him just to see where he's at mentally and understanding why he's even saying some of these things, because I do agree with him, even on the concept of making decisions or being a part of making decisions, right? If I'm your franchise quarterback, and I know this for a fact, and these are quarterbacks that aren't even on his tier, they have a say, or they're a part of the conversation with ownership, with management, as far as for what the next move is going to be for the following season. So if they're not, and I don't know if they are or aren't, but if they're not having these conversations with Russ or, and it's not even about, hey, Russ, what do you think I need to do? And I'm going to do it. It's more of just getting that locker room feel of understanding what that what they're doing in that locker room, right? Because management, coaching, and players are all three different levels. Like, they might not ever meet, right? And there's people making decisions for you. So I think for Russell Wilson, it makes sense for him to be a part of the conversation. Again, it doesn't have to be him making decisions. It's just being a part of the conversation. Because I do know in our heyday, people on the defensive side of the ball were a part of those conversations. Again, they might not follow through on what they think, hey, we need to bring said person in, but at least they're a part of those conversations. And I think Russell Wilson should be a part of them as well.
Cam, thoughts?
I agree with a lot of the things he says. I'm not too worried about whether or not Russ is getting those conversations, and he understands it too. Cliff Avril gets it, is that you're not asking for the guy to be the decision maker.
Yeah.
He's part of the entire franchise. Wouldn't you want your franchise leader, who, oh, by the way, is the face of your franchise and is the highest paid employee in your building, wouldn't you want that guy to have a little bit of an input?
Yeah.
And what's wrong with that? Honestly, nothing. When it comes down to it, nothing. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I just, and if that's what we're talking about, then I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'm totally cool with that. But I don't think a player should be making personnel decisions or think he should be making personnel decisions.
Yeah, that's a whole different decision. Yeah.
I think getting input, I think getting into a room, Pete Carroll, John Schneider, Russell Wilson, go over to Dino's across the street and crack a bubbly. And say, hey, here's what we're talking about. What do you think? You know, what's your input? And then we'll go back and we'll make the decision for you. I got no problem with that. I mean, I thought Russell Wilson should have been involved in the OC search. You know, this is a guy he's going to have to work with. I'm not saying Russell should pick the offensive coordinator.
Right.
In the end, the coach and the GM are concerned about a lot more issues than just the quarterback. But getting his thoughts on what kind of personality he wants to work with, I'm totally fine.
Yeah, I've always felt that Coach Carroll has been pretty transparent about that. I mean, don't you think so? I mean, I get it. The amount of high accolades that John, I want to say high accolades.
I thought he was doing a Carroll impression there for a second.
There might have been there a little bit. No, I can't do one. I don't want to do that. That's disrespectful. I don't want to do that.
Do you have one?
No, I
don't have one.
I got to practice.
I'm walking out of here.
I don't have enough gum in my mouth. I need to have a lot of Bubblicious or something, or Hubba Bubba, whatever it takes. But the amount of accolades that John Schneider and Pico have had together for this stretch of time, you would think as they've been together in this quote-unquote lockstep, that now that it's not working all the time and it's not getting them past where they used to be in 14 and 15, that maybe it's time to adjust.
I'm just curious to know where this is going, right? Like, where's this heading? You know, I think all of us, and I can't speak for everybody, but
It's negative turmoil? Do you think it's not good?
I think it's potentially negative turmoil.
Well, losing in the first round is also negative. Yeah. That'll get you asking questions.
And it's partly because of the quarterback.
Right. Do you want to have everybody, we'll just go through it next year. We'll bring them all back. We'll just reboot this.
No, I just want to know what Russell's end game is. We talked about this yesterday. Our end game is to figure it out and move on, right? And win another title in Seattle. That's what I think all of us want.
I think it's just like what Aaron Rodgers.
What is his end game? Does he want out of here? Does Sierra want him out of here? Does he want to move on and go play somewhere else? You know, because again, I know we talk about the national media. What I mean by the national media is guys like Garofalo and Rappaport that come on the air and talk with us about this stuff, but they hear a lot of stuff and they talk to a lot of people. This is their business. It's their job. They cover one sport. They cover the NFL. I don't have that luxury. I'm talking about everything here. I'm like the Jose Akendo of sports talk radio, to drop a reference.
Man of
80s.
Many talents.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. But those guys are dialed in. And when a guy like Garofalo comes on the air and says, hey, he's not there in 4 years, that kind of my radar goes
And it's also, too, is that you may have the type of husband or wife or something that everyone says, what are you doing? And this is a weird analogy, but I'm going to give it to you, is that I don't care what it, we've talked to coaches, we've talked to people, even on this 2 days, we talked to Randy Mueller, we talked to Coach and Holmgren, and getting everybody's opinion on the outcome. You know the only opinion that matters? Is Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
So of course. He's okay with it. And that's the kind of relationship they have. No matter what we think, and if it works, and it's been working for a few years,
I don't think he is okay with it. I don't think that this is the way Pete Carroll operates, because Pete Carroll's number one rule is always protect the football team. And the conversation and the atmosphere and the temperature of the last couple days, I don't believe is what Pete Carroll wants. But you know what? Pete Carroll doesn't always get what he wants. And the more important you are on the team, like Russell, the more you can get away with, clearly, right? I mean, if this was a fourth string offensive lineman or a fourth string wide receiver running his mouth like this, saying the offensive line sucks, that guy's probably out of here. Right, but Russell Wilson has earned that. Russell Wilson has earned
no question
the opportunity to speak up I just wish he hadn't done it in the way he did it.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just crazy than the fact that I don't think it was that bad.
I'm not saying it was that bad, but I'm also curious to know what his end game again is.
I think he wants to win another one, Dave. I think he wants to win a second Super Bowl because second Super Bowl puts you into a whole different criteria of Hall of Famer. He's already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But now we're talking about a guy that's won two. Brett Favre didn't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers been trying to do it. Mm-hmm. Dan Marino never had it.
Yeah.
We were talking Eli Manning.
Drew Brees never had it.
Couldn't get back to it again. Eli, that's the next
Eli won two.
Yeah, no, he got there. Right, that's the guy that he wants to get up to, and he is way better than Eli Manning.
Of course, but here's the thing I guess I would ask. For those that don't have a problem with Russell Wilson basically calling out his teammates, what could a player say that you would then have a problem with? How far could a guy go if saying I'm tired of getting hit, I'm tired of getting sacked is not a problem? What could he say?
I think probably calling out maybe his personality or some. This isn't a job. I don't like the way this guy is doing anything. This doesn't fit. He doesn't fit. All he's asking is for those guys is to step up their game, challenge themselves, or if they're not good enough, let's go find somebody that is good enough.
5:13, Tony Softly is going to join the radio show. Softly and Dick without Dick. Cam Cleland in for Dick right here on 950 KJR.
You asked me a question about that again. I'm walking out.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for March Madness and the Final Four. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, Softy and Dick without Dick. Cam Cleland's in for Dick Fain, joining us right now on the radio show. Tony Killing Me Softly is with us on the program. Tony, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How's my dog friend Cam Cleland doing?
This is always going to be Coach Softly to me. That's how it rolls.
There you go.
I call him Sir. Just don't want to cross him ever. I feel like that's a nice way to approach it. I'm doing good. Thank you for asking, Tony. Great to have you back on the show. And why don't you just chime in with all this conversation? I'm almost getting kind of like Wilson whiplash with all this stuff. Wilsonitis, talking about Russell Wilson this, Russell Wilson that. What do you make of the situation surrounding the Seahawks quarterback and the franchise right now, man?
You know, really, for me, and you guys will probably agree, this is totally out of character. Where is this coming from? Russell.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wilson, yes. At every season end, he sits down with the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the GM, gives his input on what he thought of the offense, where it needs to go, what they might need to add, and players know players. I'll agree with him on that. He goes to Pro Bowls and all that. He sees players. He sees the best in the league. And, you know, hey, I'd sure like to have that piece of candy, or I'd like to pick that apple off the tree. So he comes back and puts a little bird in those guys' ears. That's the input he gets. He doesn't get any personnel calls. Now, I've been around a lot of quarterbacks in my day, and Kerry Collins, Roddy Pete, Steve Berline, Chris Winkie, Jake DeLone, Mark Bulger, drafted Sam Bradford. None of those guys demanded that they be in on any of the personnel stuff, nor were they. So, you know, I'm not sure why the national blast of your teammates, the organization, if you will, it just totally out of character. And I'm not really sure where it came from and why. And it's going to grow legs. I'm just not sure where it's going to go from here.
Okay, so tell me this, Coach. You're looking at this from the player perspective, but do you fault a little bit on how the NFL has maybe evolved with the quarterback situation and what they've done, maybe with the rules, making it not only easier for them, but protecting the game so that they can showcase and the power, maybe the evolution and the change of players' empowerment more. Deshaun Watson to saying, I want to trade. And it's leaked into the NFL because the NBA, it's been a part of that for quite some time. Now, you said you didn't see that with the quarterbacks. Now, is that starting to leak in to maybe the empowerment of what these quarterbacks are expecting from their front office?
Well, you know, the rule changes, Cam, should be in place, because without a quarterback, you're not very good.
Yeah.
And without an elite quarterback, you're not going to the playoffs or a Super Bowl, so you can just forget that. So protecting those guys, you know, given the slide rule and all that type of stuff, I get that part of it. I think there's some entitlement when you're starting to get paid $140 million that you might want a little bit more say in what's going on here. And I think because of the rise in salaries, and you can blame that on the agents, if you will, and the NFL together, but the rise in salaries and that entitlement kind of gives them a little bit of a puff in the chest saying, yeah, I can kind of, you know, I can say a few more things now. And that's what's going on. And I'm not saying that's going on with Russell, and I'm not saying that went on with Brady or Aaron Rodgers or any of the rest of them, but there's a little bit of that entitlement just because of that high salary there. And I heard you guys, your show a little earlier, you know, I think it was Cliff that said it. These guys are the most important team, or excuse me, the important person within that team, and they get treated totally different by management, by ownership.
Yep.
And it's because of the stature and the play and the position that they do play.
Tony Softley is with us, and I think one conversation that we really haven't had about the Russell Wilson comments on Dan Patrick's show on Tuesday is I think there's this kind of image now being painted of the offensive line that they're terrible. You know, Russell says, I'm tired of getting hit. Well, some folks like Hugh and PFF would come back and say, well, 25% of those are on Russell Wilson, which I'm not sure if that's typical or not. Maybe it's the league average among quarterbacks that one of every four quarterbacks would take a sack. But PFF says the Seahawks had the 20th best pass blocking unit and the 12th best run blocking unit last year. How good or bad, really, Tony, in your mind, was this offensive line last year?
Well, I think, you know, you look at Mike Iupati, who I like as a player, but he's long in the tooth. He's an older player, a veteran player that just can't stay healthy. He can't make it through 16 games. Let's just be honest. To get through eight consecutive games is asking a lot of him. Dwayne Brown, I think, is still playing at a high level, but he had a couple of bad games where he allowed the defensive end to cross his face and make a sack or two. So Ethan Posick struggled, a young guy that I don't think they should give up on, who's an unrestricted free agent. I like Damian Lewis. I think they hit a home run out of the park with that guy as a rookie. Brandon Shell is more of a pass blocker than a run blocker. So I think they need to get better on the offensive line. I think they need to get better as a cohesive unit and play better together. And you guys talked about it, and I heard you talk about it, 25-26% of Russell Wilson holding the ball too long, trying to make a play, giving up the sacks. That's a problem. But really what it goes back to is what Pete wants to do is run the football. You run the football. You said their run blocking was 12%. That's where they were rated. That or 12th in the
number
league.
Number 12, right. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
That's about right. Run the football more. You have less sacks. It creates play action, so it delays that pass rush. So I mean, it all kind of works together. Running the football, creating play action fake. You'll have less sacks, and Russell won't be getting hit as much. So I mean, I think that's what he's leaning towards in hiring the new offensive coordinator and getting back to the run first type mentality and throw when they have to, you know, and when they want to.
Does it sound, though, to you guys, and Cam, get your take on this, that that's what Russell wants? Because it sounds to me like Russell Wilson's not asking to run the ball more. Russell Wilson's asking to throw the ball more and give him better protection.
Go ahead, Coach. Yep. You can do that. Go ahead.
I mean, is that what you guys think?
Yeah, well, you know what? For me, I'll go first. Yeah, Russell wants to cook. Russell wants he's sitting at the Super Bowl watching Tom Brady twice, throw the ball all over the yard, three touchdowns. I mean, that's what he wants. He sees other quarterbacks with an open pocket, a free pocket. The problem is Russell can't stand in the pocket and step forward because he can't see. So he's got to be able to get into a shotgun. He's got to motion him out. They got to reset the pocket. They got to roll him out into space so that he can see and have an open picture of the field. And so stepping up in the pocket, the only short quarterback I really admired stepping up in the pocket and his production, a lot of it came from there, is Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But Russell seems to struggle with that a little bit. He needs to be on the move or a quick shot from a shotgun position where he's more comfortable to throw the ball.
Where do you stand with what happened maybe towards the end of the season when there was a change, when Pete Carroll said, I don't know about this cooking thing and then the turnovers, and then it started to not only change the system, but it seemed like Shoddy got a little bit gun shy, and then there was a couple injuries in the run game, and you just mentioned it, and then everybody that understands football knows that if you can't run the football, you give every defense free reign to all of a sudden that you can play cover two over the top, and then we're just going to blitz you because you don't have those options. Do you hold Coach Carroll for kind of that change and saying, we can't turn the ball over enough short fields that you've been giving us, and we're going to do it this way, and that stubbornness might have changed the confidence of Russell Wilson?
You know, I think it might be a little bit of both, but I know one thing, the single high safety that they were seeing at the beginning of the year, and DK Metcalf was just blowing the top off the back end of that defense. Yeah. Tyler Lockett's running all these crossers. All of a sudden, wait a minute, we got a cover two here. Mm-hmm. And people started to figure out cover two stops that vertical threat. Cover two man, Tampa two, all those variations of two. You saw what it did to Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And so that is your vertical threat killer. Now, there are routes, and you played in the NFL at a high level for a long time, that you can run certain routes underneath that can get and kill a cover two. Yeah. Now, it's not the big play. It's just incremental, pass receptions or extended handoffs. But you can do it. And I think running the football loosens things up a little bit more, and then you can take your shot deep. So I think we'll see more of that, but yeah, there's no doubt in my mind, Russell wants to cook.
Well, there's no question, and running the ball, let's face it, also potentially slows down the game and also potentially gets your punter maybe more involved, which gets your defense more involved. And I guess, Tony, one of the reasons why the run-first approach worked so well earlier is because you had the best defense in football for 4 years in a row. How close is this defense to being maybe not elite again, because they may never be elite again, but how close is this defense to being top five in the NFL?
Oh, man, they've got a ways. They still are missing a pass rusher, and I know they've got Dunlap. But to me, he was hot and cold. He wasn't a guy that you could say, okay, when he's in, we're going to get one, two here. We'll get three a game or two a game out of him. He is another veteran that they brought in that is a little older, still be able to play within the rotation. But they need more out of him. They need another one on the other side for sure. And then depending on what happens with Shaq and free agency, they might need a corner or two. So, yeah, they're a ways away from being elite defense. I think they have some nice pieces. K.J. Wright, is he coming back? Bobby Wagner's is the talk of the town and the NFL when it comes to linebacker position. So, and then I do like Reed and I like Puna Ford up front. So they've got some nice pieces to work with, to build around, but by no means are they elite at this time.
So you've been in front offices and understand the personnel decisions. I heard Ian Rappaport earlier, he was on with Ian. Yeah. There was a statement made that teams won't listen to you if you're calling about your franchise quarterback. They're just not even going to bother. Is there a point where if somebody's calling on Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, are you ever not picking up the phone and just going, hey, we want to hear what that conversation is like? I was always told that everybody is always a phone call away. Is that true?
Everybody's all a phone call away. And I told Puck and Slick this last week. We always, every organization I was with, which was two in my 11 years as a front office executive, 15 in the league, we always picked up the phone. We always listened. Now, we didn't react on a lot of things that they were discussing or being offered or trying to persuade us to do. But we always listened because you're always trying to better your team. And, I don't see this, depending on what goes on with Russell Wilson and Pete and John in this organization, I don't see this being a three-year problem. I see this being a one-year issue.
Wow.
And if it's not resolved by the end of this year, there is a good chance that Russell Wilson might not be here. See, because what happens is there's no player bigger than the ownership. There's no person in personnel or coaching bigger than the ownership. And at some point, somebody's got to pull the trigger and make that decision.
All right, you're the GM. What are you asking for right out of the gate? Phone calls there. They're calling. What are you asking for?
Well, I mean, I think the bar is already set with the Stafford and golf trades. Mm-hmm. I'm going three first rounders.
Wow.
Or two first rounders and a player.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Three first rounders and a serviceable quarterback.
Mm.
If you can swap that, if they don't have one, but I mean, you should be able to get a good quarterback with three first round picks, and if not, two and a player. You know, and that's the other thing. I mean, these guys are working with what, four draft picks this year?
Yeah.
They might get a compensatory or two.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And they're backed up. No first rounders? Oh, man, come on. John Snyder's got his work cut out for him, man. I love him to death. Got a lot of respect for him. We cut our teeth together in scouting. This one's going to be a good year to watch him work his magic. There's no question.
I can't even believe we're talking about this, man. And then, honestly, I mean, the fact that
you have
Tony Stoffley's on the air and we're kicking around trade compensation for Russell Wilson is just, it's nuts to me. And, you know, look, man, yeah. I mean, Tony, you said if this is not resolved, this could be a one-year issue. When you say this, what does this mean? Getting enough offensive linemen to placate Russell? Did they hire the right coordinator? Are they running the right scheme? When you say if this isn't resolved, what does that mean?
Well, this and Russell Wilson going to the media.
Yeah.
I mean, John and Pete are going to do their part on getting personnel. They're going to get players because that's their job and what they do. But they didn't say, Russell, go ahead and go out to the media and just let them know what we're doing in between our four walls over here at the BMAC. They didn't ask for that conversation. Why is that happening? For what reason? What's the motivation behind that? And so that's what they have to find out.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. That is this. It, for me, I'm trying to figure that out because generally Russell Wilson speaks. He has a good conversation. Everything's totally positive. And at the end, he says, go Hawks.
Right.
Well, he didn't say that on the Dan Patrick show.
Right.
He didn't. You know,
that's
he wasn't talking
pickup.
About that
that's true.
In print.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a little confused, like everybody else, but very concerned on where this thing is going and how it grows legs and what's the next move with Seattle having a conversation with Russ or Russ going to the media again. I mean, this is going to be interesting to watch, man. That's what the offseason is all about, right?
Right. Yeah. It is out of character for sure. And are we right that there was no Go Hawks drop, Tony?
I don't remember hearing it.
I don't remember it.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, but I remember sitting there for 4 years while covering it for KJR Radio as an NFL analyst, and after every one of his press conferences, go Hawks.
Well, that takes this to a whole new level.
Whole other level.
Whole new level.
Open it up.
We didn't hear the go Hawks, man. It's panic time, baby. All right, Tony, listen, awesome stuff. Appreciate
Thanks,
the
Coach.
Insight,
Appreciate
dude.
It.
Enjoy the weekend. I will talk soon, man.
All right, Softy Cam, take care, brother.
Yeah, man.
All right, Tony Stoffley with us on the radio show.
Yeah,
you know what? Is he changing your mind a little bit?
It's
all good. Nothing to worry about. Hey. Not a big deal.
Hey,
and then
Coach
I see
Softley's
you over there, and you're kind of starting to squirm a little bit.
I'm a little squirmy,
maybe
but
you
he's
got a better.
No, I wanted to clean that up because I you know how I told you what the Ian Rappaport comment said,
yes.
Nobody's picking up the phone.
Right.
You heard it from somebody that actually been in a front office. Highly experienced.
I would agree with you.
That crap about nobody picking up phones, everybody's expendable.
Right. Of course. Well, first of all, why would you not listen?
You'd always listen.
There's no harm in listening.
Because somebody might pull the Herschel Walker trade
on you.
And
even if you don't want to make a deal, you're still finding out what another team's mindset is.
Right. Mike Ditka might call you and offer you the whole damn draft for Ricky Williams.
Well, it'd be ridiculous to not listen at all. You know, you might hang up the phone within 15 seconds or laugh in the guy's face.
Right.
But if you're not listening to everything that comes across your desk, I think you're foolish. I mean, this is a guy in John Schneider who went to Josh Allen's pro day. Right? When he had Russell Wilson.
Absolutely.
Okay. Probably for no reason at all, but just to kind of see what the hell's going on.
Right.
You know?
You're one play away or an injury away. You
so
never
you're telling
know.
Me he would drive or fly to Wyoming to watch Josh Allen work out, but he won't take a phone call?
Insane.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
5:38, we're going to break. Tony Castricone will join us at 6 p.m. tonight. Softy and Dick without Dick. Cam Cleland in for Dick right here on 950 Kid.
With Russell Stover.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for March Madness and the Final Four. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
All right, Tony Castricone will join us at 6 p.m. Talk some dogs, a little basketball, a little foosball conversation. Cam Cleland is in for Dick Fain today, who was back on Wednesday of next week. And the big news in the National Football League.
Yay!
J.J. Watt getting let go by the Houston Texans because he wants out of Houston.
Remember, he was a big deal on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien.
I want Watt. Give me Watt.
The greatest.
Running at night, running 110s at night. He's got his little Tempur-Pedic bed in the weight room.
Greatest Hard Knocks drop of all time.
More than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
You like that show? Are you a Hard Knocks guy? Because you lived it, man.
Knock on wood if you're with me,
you're
Dave.
You're like Pee-wee Herman. Remember Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Hey, Pee-wee, are you watching the movie?
Don't have to.
Hey, are you watching Hard Knocks?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I get anxiety. I still get anxiety. Like, I already have anxiety. That's part of being a redhead. But, you know, it's what you're born with. Sorry.
Let me ask you a question. Do you shave your head?
We're in anomalies.
You shave your head.
What kind of question is it?
Or is just all gone?
What kind of question is
that? Has the hair fallen out because you're old, or do you shave it? Honestly,
I'm bald.
You are bald.
I could have a great skullet like me and Hulk Hogan. I could rock the skullet.
Gotcha.
Well, I've had this look since I was about 27-ish.
I thought you shaved it, so I had no
But
idea.
I do. I keep it tight. I'm going to shave it. I buff it and
back
stuff.
Back to Hard Knocks, though.
But what I was saying is, and I totally train of thought lost. Yeah. What we were talking about, Hard Knocks.
Two, and one.
More than anything, I want better execution.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Knock on wood if you're with me.
I want better execution.
What I said was, is us gingers are crazy. We have a lot of crazy and anxiety, but I still get that every July. Like, it doesn't leave me. Like, I get nauseous.
Like, you start
and
like
training camp is coming, and I get worried about it, and I start pretending. And then, so I'll watch Hard Knocks, and I'm like, I can hit somebody. 2 days. 2 days. Sunday, where's my tequila? And that's the first thing. All I had to do as a rookie, they made me buy all the Grand Meunier, and I had to buy all the donuts, and I had to get all the liquor for the veterans. Blew my whole training camp money. You get like $1,500 bucks a week. I know, cry me a river. Yeah. But what I'm saying is watching stuff like that still brings me back. And I see it, and I start twitching. And I go 9-on-7. I want to go hit people, an inside run. I want to go knock them out. Wow. I want to get on the field, and that doesn't leave me. Like, I got one or two plays. One is the first play I'm in there. Two is you carting me off the field.
There might be something wrong with you.
Look, I've said this before. We're former athletes. We're former pro athletes. We have screws loose to be out there.
I'm just kind of concerned, Jackson.
Weird.
At any point in time, he could leap over the table and pull a Jim Everett.
Don't say the wrong thing.
Against Jim Rome.
Don't do it.
Call me Chris one more time.
Dang! If you grew up with a redhead and was called you don't even know what I grew up like. Yeah, it was brutal.
Are you kidding me, dude? Growing up with this nose? You know how much crap I took as a kid?
You deserved it.
With this vacuum cleaner?
We all got things.
Everybody's
got
things.
You gotta get you. Gotta get them.
Everybody's got things. Well, J.J. Watt is done in Houston.
Would you sign him immediately?
Me?
Yeah, would you do it?
For the minimum. Of course
you're
I would.
You're paying him like $1.1 million.
The question is not would you sign him. The question is how much would you pay to get him? That's the question.
So it really does depend on this. But I think I want to, my first qualification to get J.J. Watt in the locker room is going to be, when I sit him down, I'm going to ask him, I said, how much and where do you want to fit? Mm-hmm. Because it's going to be important. So he's played in an odd front. So he's playing a lot of 34 defense, playing inside and out.
Right.
He's going to want to play a defensive end, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to play in the inside. You can get more life from the edges. And then I'm going to say, well, what do you really want? What are you worth? Because if it's about money, he signed $100 million. Now, you know, you don't get it all. Texas doesn't have state income tax, but that's a part of the deal. Will he be willing to take a little bit of a pay cut, and does he want to go to contender? I will say absolutely 150,000,000% yes. He wants contender. Right. He's not going to go to Cincinnati. Right. He's not going to go hang out in Tennessee. And sorry, folks, I don't think Tennessee's a contender.
You imagine J.J. Watt signs with the Jets.
No. That's never happened. He's not signing with the Giants. He's not signing.
Right.
Now, he might sign with New England.
Right.
That's a sexy place. A lot of old players love to go there and finish their career, and you never know.
Well, they love to go there because
Tom Brady was
the guy
there
that used to be there. Is it still, I mean, you were there for a year.
Yeah.
Is it still, you think, the destination it was?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It isn't.
Why would it be?
It's not.
Why would it be?
Who is the next guy there?
I'm sorry. All the beaches of Maui are closed. Oh, no problem. Let's
no
go anyway.
Days off.
Of course it's not the destination, but they've got money. They've got money, and they've got Bill Belichick. So, you know, and to me, that's also one of the bigger storylines heading into the year in 2021. I've said a couple times, I think Kansas City winning would have been great for the NFL. To have that storyline of three
dynasty
in a row.
Happening.
His last year before his contract blows up would have been great. Now the storyline becomes, can Brady win another one in Tampa? And is Belichick under a little pressure to win his own championship?
Yes,
without Tom
I think
Brady?
You're going to have to, because now that you had the most dynamic, most iconic duo, coach quarterback duo of all time, they had a breakup. Mm-hmm. Pretty public breakup. And well, your ex-wife just won the Super Bowl and hit it out the home run.
Absolutely.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Remember I asked you this yesterday on the show, which would you rather have? If I just said, Dave, you're starting a brand new franchise. Okay. I'm going to invest in what first?
Yeah.
The quarterback or the coach?
Yeah. No.
And you hesitated a little bit, but you didn't.
I don't remember that question.
Yeah, you remember the question. No. What did you say?
No. Oh, that was you answering? I said the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think
not just any quarterback.
I think quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks, can make average coaches look really good.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we just had that happen.
Right.
Urban
Meyer's never
Arians
taken that. Because
Bruce Arians hadn't done dick.
Urban Meyer's not taken any job.
Showed up.
Urban Meyer's not taking any job in this league unless he's got the number one overall pick and he's got Trevor Lawrence sitting there.
Look at what Tom Brady just did for Bruce Arians, dude. There's your freaking answer right there. 5:53.
Right.
Tony Castricone will join the radio show. Talk some dogs next on 950 KJR.
They try to make it basketball.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on a Friday night right here on Softy and Dick Without Dick, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
We start with some scores in the NBA. Hornets up on Minnesota, 196 mid-fourth quarter, behind 31 so far from Terry Rozier. Knicks up on the Wizards, 79-64 early fourth quarter, and mid-third, San Antonio just hammering Atlanta, clobbering the Hawks, 92-53 behind 23-6-7 so far from DeMar DeRozan. Mavericks at home lead the Pelicans 69-65 early third quarter there in Dallas. Halftime in Chicago. Clippers up on the Bulls 58-54. Hey, don't forget Husky basketball tomorrow, 4:30 tip, 4:00 pregame right here on 950 KJR. Joining us on the radio show, and again, Cam Cleland sitting in tonight for our friend Dick Fain, who's back next week, Tony Castricone. Tony, what has happened to this basketball team since those wins against Colorado and Utah? How are you, man? What's going on?
Well, I'll start by, you know, and this might sound like I'm just putting a positive spin on it, but last night was a different game than the other three games in what's now a four-game losing streak. And I'm going to look at the bright side by saying this. Heading into last night, the Husky defense has been the worst it's been in a while. And over the last 11 games, have been giving up an average of 85.1 points per game. Now, that's just not good enough. Coach Hop knows that's not good enough. The staff, the players, they know that that's not good enough. And even in the wins against Colorado, against Utah, they're still giving up 80 and 79 points in those games. And you look at, like, beating Colorado, for instance, they did that by going 12 for 25 from three, while Colorado went 1 of 18 for three. And you win that game by 4 points, you think, gosh, we miss 1 3, they make 1 3, and that makes up the margin, right? So, you know, I think defense has been the concern, even in the times where times were looking more positive, right? Now you take on an SC team that's incredibly freakishly athletic. Yep. They're also one of the best defensive teams in the country. And so the fact that Washington struggled to score last night against a team that's fourth in the nation in blocks and fourth in field goal percentage and 13th in defensive efficiency, not a surprise to me that this Husky offense sputtered a little bit last night and scored 54 points. The positive side, they took on a team that's bigger than them at every position, that's freakishly athletic, that's veteran, and they held them to 69 points. They took a team that scored 95 on them the first time around and held them to 69 points. one of the best defensive performances we've seen out of the Huskies all season long. And in fact, it's very easy to be frustrated by it because that great defensive performance was squandered in some ways, where they're down by 8 to 10 points, middle second half. They continue to get all the stops that they need, and then they can't capitalize by scoring on the other end. That's incredibly frustrating. But the diamond in the rough there is the fact that the defense had its best game of the year. And now you're getting ready to take on a UCLA team that you did have success against, albeit in a close loss in Westwood the first time around. And UCLA is kind of limping into this game, having lost three of their last five. And I think that they're beatable. And so I'm hoping that the increased defensive intensity that we saw yesterday, I'm hoping that that spills in over into tomorrow's game, because I think if it does, they're going to have a great chance of knocking off the Bruins.
So, Tony, you're seeing this team up close. You're getting to watch these young players. You know, when losing does happen, sometimes it can kick you. It can make you deal. You start to question, okay, the offense isn't playing well, so maybe our defense. We got to pick up the defense. The ball's not going in the hoop, and now it's affecting the defense. How's the team morale as you're watching this? You know, they're closer. They're in games a little bit, but towards the end, things slip away. How do you think the morale has been holding with these players?
Cam, that's a great question, and it's harder for me than normal to pick up on that, since I'm not, you know, due to COVID protocols and precautions, I'm not around on a more regular basis. I'm kind of just there on game day. But I think it's on the upside of hit and miss. And I think when you really look at 4 or 5 weeks ago, when they're mired in the 9-game losing streak, that's really what was most difficult of all, was you're just looking for something positive and you're just having a hard time finding it. And then you knock off Colorado, you knock off Utah, you play well against UCLA. And I think that those three games coming in succession did a lot to the morale of the team. And so certainly didn't play as well as they wanted to against Washington State. We saw some of the old problems kind of come back, high turnover numbers, poor performance on the glass. That's frustrating. But I do think that we're seeing a higher energy level and a little bit more morale than we saw early in the season. And that's crucial to be able to have a chance to win any given game you go out there. If you go out there mentally defeated before the tip-off, you just don't have a chance. And I think we are seeing some more positivity in that way with this team.
Well, Tony Castricone with us. Dogs drop it last night to USC. UCLA tomorrow, 4:30 tip, 4 o'clock pregame right here on 950 KJR. Obviously have the prospects of a Vegas Pac-12 tournament in 3 or 4 weeks from now. We'll see if that happens, but so far it's on. Yeah. So everybody has that carrot waiting there at the end of the road. But Bob Gregory was on the radio show, the new UW defensive coordinator, and since he's gotten the job in the last couple of weeks, I'm sure you're talking to people, kind of, you know, rubbing elbows or jumping on Zoom calls with folks talking about the new Washington defensive coordinator. I thought he sounded great. I thought he sounded confident in his convictions. No doubt, says, look, if we are going to take this to the next level, we have got to stop the run. If there's anything they picked up in the four games they played, it's those guys up front stopping the run. It's the biggest reason why they were 3-1 and not 4-0.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to stop the run. And I thought you guys did a great job with that conversation yesterday. And I like Bob a lot. You know, I think he's well-respected within that staff. He's veteran. Everybody's comfortable with him, and I think he's shown a great propensity to develop talent. And you think of a guy like Ben Burkervin, who kind of comes in as a 3-star recruit, and by the time he leaves this program at that middle linebacker position, ends up a first-team All-American in the nation's leading tackler. You think of a guy like Edifuanyi Ofosio, who comes in as a walk-on out of Alaska and Las Vegas, and he just wants a shot at a major program. And the way that he's kind of developed into a first-team all-conference player, I think Bob's, you know, really a guy that develops guys and gets the most out of them. And certainly, like, you had Coach Lake on, I think, a week or maybe two ago, and he's like, look, if you guys believe in me and believe in what we've done defensively over the last 7 years, you know, trust that I'm making the right decision here. And Bob has been a part of that. You know, I mean, it's easy to give a lot of the credit to Coach Lake and Coach Kwiatkowski because they deserved it. But Bob was every bit as big a part of that as a Kaika Malloy you know, Will Harris and everybody else. And so I like the consistency, and I like the fact that we're going to continue to be a defensive branded football team. I love those tough physical defenses. I love having confidence that it's going to be hard to score against us. And if you do catch a pass over the middle, you're going to be punished. I just love that brand of football. And I'm happy that that's going to continue to be the emphasis on Montlake for years to come.
I hadn't had a chance to ask this question to you, so I've been very curious. And now that I'm on the show here, I'm going to ask that, because a lot of the players that decided to come back, some of the guys that had options, maybe they thought about having those couple games and gave them maybe a run at the NFL. Maybe they got a good grade, but they decided to come back as a group. What does that say about what Coach Lake and now with Coach Gregory staying within the program and upgrading a guy to defensive coordinator? Does that keep the consistency and these players all kind of feel something heading into next year?
I think that's a great point, Cam. And I mean, you know, you'd have to probably ask each individual how specifically that pertains to them. But yeah, I mean, it's a great observation. I mean, when guys have the chance to bolt, you know, they see more upside in coming back and continuing to develop within this system as to what that could mean for their future prospects. And so that means good things are happening here, and people are growing within this defense. And I think it's obvious. I mean, I don't think otherwise you could have a guy like Ben Burkfurden or Zion Tupuola-Fatui explode onto the scene the way that they did. I mean, you know, these guys relatively kind of come out of nowhere. They come into the program, they work, they learn. And then later on in their career, they get their opportunity and boom, they're everywhere, right? And I don't think that happens otherwise. And so I think that's a really good observation on your part.
Well, Tony Castricone again is with us on the radio show, and Cam and I were talking off the air about the quarterback situation. You may have seen that Tyler Shupp, who started all seven games for Oregon this year, including the bowl game against Iowa State, has decided to transfer. How many is that now?
That's three quarterbacks.
Yeah. Kel Millen's one of them. He's taken off as well, obviously, and it just seems like this is the way of the world now, guys. And Tony, I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this, that any team out there that's got a nice, solid quarterback room of four-star guys, there is no chance that lasts.
I mean, right? I don't know what else to really add to what you said, other than I don't envy being a coach who's responsible for trying to put that roster together. And you know, I mean, think about this. Inevitably, at some point, you're going to have a major program need to rely on that third string guy. And I mean, you think back, what, maybe 6 years ago, Ohio State wins a national championship with their third string guy. Yep. And if they don't have a good third string guy there waiting in the wings and Cardale Jones, they don't win a national championship. And so, you know, I understand at the same time, like, I mean, it's a real predicament. These kids, they got this 4 to 5 year window where they've got a chance not only to experience playing quarterback in college football, but also kind of see what they're made of and put their resume together for the next level. You can't resent the fact that they want a chance to be out there on the field. And yet, you know, I mean, yeah. Like, look what it's doing. Look what it's doing. It's crazy. And so it's just kind of the nature of the beast right now. But I think, you know, the guys that are able to build, you know, Cam brought up morale, being at a place that you want to be, and knowing that you're getting developed there, the coaching staffs that are able to do that and offer a lot, those are the ones that are going to have the better chance of keeping more of the guys around. And that's, you know, that's the best you can do with these situations. And I do think John Donovan and Jimmy Lake are doing a good job of building that culture. And guys like Jacob Sermon are going to decide to do what's best for them. And you know, wish them the best, more power to them. Yep. But yep. I think that culture is important.
Well, you're only 20 years old once, right? You want to spend it.
And we got 4 years of those.
You want
eligibility.
To spend it playing football for somebody or sitting on somebody's bench. So I get it, man. Hey, Tony, great stuff. 4:30 tip, 4 o'clock pregame tomorrow with Jason Dogs in UCLA right here on 950 KJR. Thanks, pal, and
thanks
fun
so much,
tomorrow,
Tony.
Man. Appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Go Dogs.
You got it. Go Dogs. Tony Castricone with us. We mentioned the Bob Gregory conversation, the new UW defensive coordinator. We're going to give it to you next right here for free on Softy and Dick Without Dick. Cam in for Dick on 950.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.